Good afternoon, this meeting has commenced. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Duggan.
Present.
Vice Chair Abbott.
Here.
Ranking Democratic Member Hanshofsky.
Here.
Representatives Anderson.
Here.
Benjamin is excused. Barrero.
Here.
Botana. Kennedy.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Franklin is excused. Griffiths.
Here.
Clayton.
Here.
Rudman.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Stevenson.
Here.
Kant. Temple.
Here.
Tremont.
Here.
Woodson. Ex officio Skidmore.
Here.
Thank you. This is the January 11th, 2024 meeting of the Insurance and Banking Subcommittee. As a reminder, please silence all of your electronic devices. Members, please remember to turn your microphone on and off when speaking. And I want to welcome Representative Skidmore as an ex officio member today. Welcome. Glad to have you here. Members, we have four bills today. The first is HB 85 by Representative Barnaby. You are recognized to present your bill, recognizing that you have a strike all amendment.
Good afternoon, Chair Duggan, Vice Chair, ranking members. I want to say Happy New Year to you all again. Okay, HB 85, put my glasses on, creates a public records exemption for certain information related to applications for new banks and trust companies. This exemption will protect the personal financial information and personal identifying information of the proposed officers and directors from public disclosure. This exemption will protect these individuals from identity theft, retribution, and loss of employment with their current employers. The exemption also protects the strategic and operational plans of the applicant from public disclosure, which will ensure a fair and competitive opportunity for applicants. This bill will encourage new banks and trust companies applicants to come to Florida, which will provide Floridians with new financial service opportunities and grow our economy and business environment. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
And I ask for the committee's favorable support.
Are there questions on the bill? Seeing none, we have an amendment. You are recognized to present Amendment 928623.
This strike all amendment conforms the House language to that of the Senate bill. The substance and intent of the bill is not affected by the strike all. That is the amendment.
Questions on the amendment? Seeing none, public testimony? None on the amendment. Any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive close.
Without objection, show that amendment adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Any questions on the bill as amended? Seeing none, any public testimony? Ash Mason, Office of Financial Regulation, waives in support. Thank you. Anthony DeMarco, Florida Bankers Association, he waives in support as well. Thank you. Seeing no other public testimony, we are in debate. Members, any debate? Seeing none, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Waive close, Mr. Chairman.
Rep. Barnaby, having waived close, please call the roll.
Chair Duggan.
Yes.
Vice Chair Abbott.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Hanshofsky.
Yes.
Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Benjamin is excused. Barrero. Botana.
Yes.
Kennedy.
Yes.
Fabricio.
Yes.
Franklin is excused. Griffiths.
Yes.
Clayton. Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Ex officio Skidmore?
Yes.
Thank you. By your vote, that bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, members.
You are now recognized, Rep. Barnaby, to present HB 311.
All right. Thank you, Chair. Vice Chair, ranking members, members of the Insurance and Banking Subcommittee, it is my pleasure to present HB 311 to you today. HB 311 amends Chapters 517 of the Florida Statutes, which is administered by the Office of Financial Regulations, to promote economic development, enhance investor protections, streamline the registration process, and update various bills. The definitions of various bills. HB 311 amends Chapters 517 in the following ways. It implements an investor local offering exemption, which allows Florida companies to raise up to $500,000 of investment capital from Florida investors. The bill revises the current crowdfunding exemption to increase the maximum capital raise to $5 million and expand the eligibility for companies to use the exemption, allows insurers to crowdfund up to $2.5 million directly with no intermediary, and allows for general solicitation and advertising. It creates an investor-friendly accredited investor exemption to allow Florida companies to raise capital from Florida investors who are reasonably believed to be accredited. It offers a safe harbor for demo day and pitch events and a pre-offering exemption, which exempts entrepreneurial organizations from dealer registration requirements. It allows them to test the waters for investor interest before incurring all costs associated with investment offerings. The bill contains an integration provision for all offering exemptions, which allows insurers to conduct multiple investment offerings or claim multiple exemptions simultaneously, in turn lowering insurer-issuer liability. The bill also contains enhanced investor protections measures, which authorizes the Office of Financial Regulations to bring enforcement actions against bad actors and their aiders and abettors. It also authorizes increased penalties for targeting and defrauding vulnerable adults and modifies the qualifications for Florida's Investors Restitution Fund. Finally, the bill creates a streamlined registration process which reduces small offering registration barriers and updates various definitions. That is the bill, Mr. Chair, and I ask for your favorable support.
Thank you, members. Questions on the bill? Seeing none, Rep. Barnaby, you are recognized to explain Amendment 165013.
This strike-all amendment conforms the House language in to that of the Senate bill. The substance and intent of the bill is not affected by the strike-all. That is the amendment.
Questions on the amendment? Seeing none, any public testimony on the amendment? None. Any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive close.
Rep. Barnaby having waived close. Without objection, show that amendment adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Any questions? Seeing none. Public testimony. Sam Wagoner, Florida League of Cities, waves in support. Thank you. Tim Nungesser, National Federation of Independent Business, waves in support. There's two of those. Carolyn Johnson, Florida Chamber of Commerce, waves in support. Thank you. Ash Mason, Office of Financial Regulation, waves in support. Thank you. Stuart Cohn, the Business Law Section of the Florida Bar, he waves in support. Thank you. Seeing no other public testimony, members were in debate on the bill as amended. Any debate? Seeing none, Barnaby, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me just want to say thank you to Office of Financial Regulations, to everyone that worked with me on this very important bill. It's very important for our state. It's very important for all the investors in the great state of Florida. And I want to thank all my colleagues for their favorable support of this very important bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Rep. Barnaby,
having
closed, Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Duggan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Abbott?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Hunshofsky?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin is excused. Barrero? Botana?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Franklin is excused. Griffiths?
Yes.
Placon?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Ex officio Skidmore?
Yes.
Thank you. By your action, that bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations. Members, our next bill is HB 611 by Representative Botana, our very own. You are recognized to present the bill.
Thank you, Chair, Committee. Thank you for having me on this bill that we've seen so many times. It's a great, great, great bill. In current Florida statute, credit unions are prohibited from accepting any deposits from public entities, denying them a depository choice. Updating the law would allow greater flexibility for local entities and give credit unions further opportunity to revisit in communities across the state of Florida. This bill would add credit unions to a list of financial institutions eligible to be qualified public depositories if they meet a certain necessary condition. And member, Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you. Members, questions on the bill? Seeing none and seeing no amendments on the bill, we are in public testimony. Daniel Petronio, Capital City Bank. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So Daniel Petronio, I'm a head of a specialty banking division at Capital City Bank. I see some familiar faces from last year. The couple comments that I'd just like to make on this bill. So we have, I think it's pertinent to share that Capital City Bank, again, we're headquartered here in Tallahassee, 129 years old. We have a marginal corporate tax rate of 25%. So it's 21-ish federal, 3 to 4% state. And that is an expense, right? It comes right off the top of our earnings annually. This is an expense that credit unions don't bear. And we know that this is as it exists today. This bill sort of expands upon the unfair competitive advantage already, and it attacks kind of a very important piece of a community banking's business, and that's public funds. And so public funds are a huge portion of community banking. It's typically your largest depositors, and so for community banks, I mean, that's where we get our deposits and we make loans. That's how we support our communities. Another aspect, I think, is it's sort of a conflict of interest. If the state of Florida provides the tax-exempt status to credit unions, and then if this bill passes, they can then solicit the same deposit, state deposit, or they can solicit public deposits from the same entity that provided that tax exemption. So I see it as a sort of a conflict of interest. And then last, you know, from a competitive standpoint, we're, as bankers, of course, the more competition in the marketplace, the better. We just like it to be a fair playing field, and it isn't today, and with this legislation, it sort of makes it worse. So, you know, bankers will be happy to compete with credit unions so long as the playing field's leveled. So, happy to answer any questions, and I appreciate the time this morning.
Thank you. Yep. Our next speaker is Anthony DeMarco. Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Petronio, sorry.
Yep.
Rep. Woodson, you're recognized.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I have a quick question for you based on what you just mentioned, and I'm trying to get clarification on the bill because I want to be fair to everybody.
Sure.
You mentioned that if we pass the bill, it will be a conflict of interest for the credit unions. Is that?
Yeah, no, I was.
You're recognized.
Yeah, sorry, my apologies. So if the state grants that tax exemption to credit unions, which they do today, right, so there's a, it is there today. Credit unions can solicit that state deposits, your public entities, and the state's granting that tax exemption. So I kind of see it as it's a possible conflict of interest by having that tax exemption granted to an entity that's trying to solicit deposits from the entity that actually granted it.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. if they are asking for fair play, mm-hmm. right, just to go to a procurement process, how is that being seen as a conflict of interest? And I'm trying to understand. I still don't understand it. Because if they're just asking for fair play to be able to procure as well.
You recognize?
To go to a procurement process. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, so if asking for a, I'm trying to understand the question.
Sorry,
yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Trying to think through the question, I'm sorry. So the question is, if they're asking to credit unions, you're saying that they're asking for a public procurement, and they're asking for a fair chance at that?
You recognize?
Yeah, it's a procurement process. They bid. If they are qualified, they present all their... Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
No, go ahead.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Go ahead.
If they asking, okay, there's a bid that come out, mm-hmm. everybody would be allowed to submit the bid process, during the bid process, right? So how is it seen as a conflict of interest if they submit the application and they are qualified, they have all the appropriate documentation? So how is it being seen as a conflict of interest?
You recognize?
Yeah, so I don't think it's a conflict of interest of the credit union itself. I think the bill itself is sort of, the state of Florida provides a tax exemption to the credit unions, right? So the credit unions can then solicit deposits from the state of Florida entities themselves that they've got that tax exemption status from. I'm trying to think of another example to provide, if this tax exemption status is provided by the state to this entity, to credit union entities, and they can go back to the state to collect their deposits or to try to, through the normal bidding process, to procure those deposits from an entity that gave them a tax exemption status.
Follow up?
Sure.
You recognize? You
yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. If we pass a bill, it's a law, mm-hmm. right? They have members already providing, I'm a member. For example, I was an employee of Miami-Dade County and I used to be a credit union member. Now, the county can decide to contract with them, right? If we pass this bill, to give them a fair chance. And I'm trying to see if it's a law. How is it being seen as a conflict of interest? I still don't get it based on what you're saying.
You recognize?
I'm trying to explain the conflict. I mean, as far as the unfair and fairness of the bill, I think that's kind of a separate issue to, that you have a 25% pricing advantage in our case, right? So we take 25% of our earnings as a bank and pay it to the federal and state local taxes. Credit unions don't have that. So I think if as a business owner, if any of the business owners out there, if you have a business and you have one of your competitors provides the exact same product and service and they have a 25% pricing advantage, not because of being more efficient or, better subs on a contract, it's because the rules of the game provide that 25% unfair competitive advantage. I think that's the unfair side, in my opinion.
You recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How much of the market do banks have right now compared to the credit unions?
You recognize?
In public deposits in the state of Florida, all of them. I mean, the credit unions can't collect public deposits at the time being.
But the market itself, the entire market. How much is the entire market?
You recognize?
I don't have the whole public depository in the state of Florida. I don't have that number.
Okay. I was trying to see how much do the banks have compared to the credit union, because based on what I read in the bill, also reading the bill, I was able to do some research, mm-hmm. and I noticed the market is about $32 billion. Mm-hmm. So I want to know how much of that amount do the banks have compared to the credit unions.
You recognize?
Credit unions are not allowed to collect public deposits, so all public deposits are in banks right now.
Let me clarify, because I think you're talking past each other. She's not referring to public deposits. She's talking about the overall financial services banking market in the state of Florida. What percentage do banks have versus credit unions?
Thank
if you know.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know what that percentage is.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes.
Rep. Fabrizio.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sir, just a quick question. I'm a lawyer. The term conflict of interest has a specific meaning in law, and you're wielding it here as, and I've heard this bill. I think this is the third time we hear this bill since in my time in the House. I have not heard that argument before. Do you have any legal basis to make that argument?
You're recognized.
No, sir.
Are there?
You're recognized.
Is there any precedent or is there any other situation that has occurred in the past that it would support the fact that you're suggesting that there is a conflict of interest? And it sounds to me that you're saying between the state and these public depositories. Is that right?
You're recognized.
Yes. I mean, in my opinion, yeah. I mean, that's where I see it could be, yes.
You're recognized.
Did you come up with this on your own or did somebody provide you this opinion?
You're recognized.
We're discussing with others within the bank. Yeah, we made public testimony that say to this 3 years ago, I think, three or four years ago.
You recognize.
Will the bankers bring suit against the state of Florida if we pass this bill based on some sort of conflict of interest?
You recognize.
I don't have that answer, no. I'm sorry.
All right, thank you.
Rep. Steele, you recognize.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for bringing this bill. You said that top line, 25% off the top. Are you talking about after expenses?
You recognize.
Yeah, tax or expenses is another expense line item on a balance sheet. So it is it's a tax expenses.
It's not on total revenue. Sorry.
You recognize.
It's not on total revenue. It's on after expenses.
Mm-hmm. You recognize. Okay. You recognize.
One last question. So it could be considered unfair based on what you're saying. Why not just become a nonprofit?
You recognize.
You certainly could.
Thanks.
Any other questions for Mr. Petronio? Seeing none, thank you. Thanks. Our next speaker is Anthony DeMarco. Recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I will, I'm Anthony DeMarco, Florida Bankers Association. You talk about doing this a long time. I've been doing this many years on this bill. This is a recurring nightmare of mine nearly every session. So we're up here opposed to the bill, as I've been in the past. I've talked to most, if not all of you, over the last two sessions. This is basically the same bill. I think there is one minor difference from last session on the number of credit unions that have to join to be part of it. Our position has not changed. I have passed along to you, I think all of you have received a copy of the Tax Watch report that came out this fall on the difference. To give you a little perspective on some numbers from that, they found that there's a $259 million tax difference between banks and credit unions. That 148, I'm going to round, these are round numbers. The report has more detail. $148 million in federal taxes. State taxes are a total of $101 million. That's income tax, intangible tax, and sales tax. Actually, sales tax is the largest number they found in their report that banks pay, the credit unions don't pay. And then a local sales tax of $9.4 million is what I copied here. And then they did the report where they looked at two things. They looked at like-size bank and credit union of 100 and, I believe it was $150 million in assets. The bank would pay roughly $260,000 in annual taxes, while the credit union would pay zero of those same taxes. Now, they do have to pay employment taxes, like payroll taxes like we do, and property taxes like we do. So I'm not saying it's every tax. I've been accused of that here before. They also looked at a family of four with an average income, statewide median income of $74,000. That family of four would pay a little more than $7,500 in federal, state, and local taxes, while the multi-billion-dollar credit union would not pay anything in those same taxes. That's laid out in this report. They also talk about, when credit unions were formed, way back when, it was, the world was a whole different place in the early 1900s. We had less credit availability to everybody and so forth. They were formed to serve low and middle income individuals of a specific community with limited financial services. Since then, the credit unions have broadened their field of membership requirements, which has allowed them to acquire a wider variety of members. And they also offer more financial services, and balance sheet reflects this evolution. If they first did this report in 97, they found that it was $89 million tax difference. It went on to 2003 to $102 million, and they've done it 20 years later now, and it's $259 million. So the credit unions are growing. The credit unions are buying banks in Florida. We had two out of Michigan buy four banks, rather, in the Tampa Bay area and in the Southwest Florida area to service their customers. And that they used to be very proud of the fact the credit unions, they served a distinct community, distinct geographical area. I don't think the virtual entirety of the I-75 corridor from Michigan to Florida would count as a local compact geographical district. They continue to grow. They continue to keep going. They buy banks not only for the, because they have a lot of tax dollars they're not paying, they have the cash to do it. They can offer a higher rate. They are also, when they buy that bank, like when any other bank buys another bank in consolidation, they're buying the customers, they're buying the accounts, the services, that all goes along with that. They've expanded into many financial services that they were not part of when they first formed, trust services, real estate services. One of the things I've heard over the years as well has been the largest banks have most of the public deposits, and I said this last year, and I'm going to say it again this year, that is absolutely correct. When the city of Tampa, the Duval County, Orange County, whomever, they need the services and the amount, the size of a big bank. They cannot go to a credit union, nor can they go to a community bank. So what we're talking about here are a lot of smaller accounts that more of the community banks have, and they're out there competing every day. You heard Capital City, they're out there competing with the big banks and some of these small accounts as well, and they are there, but it's an equal playing field. They're gonna go in there with the same rates, et cetera, because of the tax structure being the same, the regulation being the same. On that, I think that if this bill was to pass, become law, and deposits were to start leaving community banks, I'm giving you a lot of ifs, you may see further bank consolidation in community banks. They'll be unable to compete. I would imagine you're going to see more, this is Anthony guessing now, you're going to see more credit unions wanting to buy banks, take them off the tax rolls because they're going to buy those deposits and those accounts, which, like I said, when banks merge, credit unions merge, that's what, why they're doing it, also for economies of scale. I've also been told that there, and I heard this last year, so I'm going to address it now. There's been some talk about banks redlining 1,000 years ago. I would presume that every financial institution in some make or fashion had redlined through the U.S. government. I can tell you that credit unions, when they were formed for the small, distinct groups, were formed in churches through education and all sorts of things for all sorts of people and all sorts of places and for reasons and their economics, not just racial. I'm sure that happened as well like anything else. I can tell you that just in the last couple of months, there was an article on CNN that talks about Navy Federal Credit Union, who caters to the Department of Defense, giant campus up in the Pensacola area. They were the largest, according to the CFPB. They denied 75% of the white loans and 50% of the black loans. And that's on. I didn't want to bring that up, but I've heard that this has been talked about behind the scenes. So I'm going to address it while I have my chance, since I'm before they are. So we just find it totally ironic. I don't know what else word to use. You want to take tax dollars that they're not paying into and then take those tax dollars, lend them back out in the community, which we're doing with all these deposits. You heard that. All banks do, and they're going to make money off that. Just because you're not-for-profit doesn't mean you make a profit. I don't know any not-for-profit that doesn't make a profit, unless they're totally based on, I don't know, the government or something. I don't know. But I've, if they are, they go out of business, and we go forward from there. And I'll be happy, Mr. Chairman. I think I should get off my soapbox now. And I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. DeMarco. Rep. Steele, do you have a question?
Thank you very much. No, actually, you're smiling, but this is actually I didn't think about the tax consequence from a sales tax. If all banks in the state of Florida converted to a nonprofit, what would be the tax implication to the state?
Well, I don't know what the amount would. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I think I haven't done this before. I just said I did this longer than anybody else. I apologize. I don't know what the number would be, but I just want to address that. Banks were formed in their way. Credit unions were formed in their way. They got a tax exemption because they did things. They had a limited field of membership. They were limited geography. And that's why they were a cooperative. And now, if you live, work, or worship in a county, or you give to some of the other ones to a Wounded Warrior type foundation, which is all admirable, you can then join. So there's no difference between a credit union in that case and a bank, other than they don't pay the taxes and are not-for-profit. It's really, in my mind, those kinds of credit unions are just banks with a tax exemption.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And sorry for not thanking you in the beginning. Could you provide me that report? Because it may have it in there.
Yes, sir, I'll be happy.
Because I'm thinking that there's going to be an issue with, you know, loss of sales tax in the state of Florida if you guys decide to convert. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Rep. Whitson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned something that credit unions are buying banks.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you, before I ask the second question, Mr. Chair, if I may, could you clarify for me the percentage that the banks have in the market versus the credit unions?
So
on that $32 billion.
Did you understand the clarification? Okay, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have an answer. I can get it for you, but I will tell you the banks have a larger market share, if nothing else, from the big banks. They have most of the market share of the banking industry.
Okay. If you
recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry. If you have a larger market share in the buying banks, what are the banks not doing that allow them to get in the market and buying banks?
You recognize.
Since they have a small percentage. You see, I'm trying to understand.
I would, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would suggest that if you're a bank, you're a credit union that's supposed to be a single member, let's say you're just a teacher's credit union. That's all you are. That was your example. You don't need to buy another bank. But if you are a credit union that wants to let anybody, like I said, live, work, or worship in a county, you have a branch, can walk in and join, you're a bank. They're going to want to grow. They need economies of scale. They're going to want to buy those financial services products that that bank is offering. They get those deposits and business relationships. For example, if they're not big into commercial lending, if you buy a bank that does a lot of commercial lending, you've got those loans or part of your portfolio until that either gets paid off or renegotiated or what have you. But you're buying all that. So back in the day when they were single member, if you will, there was no need to expand. And now that they don't have to do that, they can expand, and they want to expand, and they want to continue to grow.
Follow up? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question to you now, where's the middle ground in this bill? Could you talk to that? Because I want to be fair to the banks. I want to be fair to the credit unions as well. So where's the middle ground? Do you see a middle ground in this bill?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think my middle ground is their middle ground.
I know that, but.
To us, if you pay taxes and similar regulation, the same kind of taxes, you're subject to them, then that's fine. If you're going to act like a bank and try to take on new powers, then you should be taxed and regulated like a bank. And that's where we are. No one, they took that charter and nonprofits designation to do a certain basket of goods and services, and now they want to expand. It's human nature. They want to expand what they can do. But they're expanding now into other things that are hurting us. And so it's fair, I've said, the big banks and small banks compete all the time for accounts. The small banks are not going to go into the city of Miami, Miami-Dade County. They can't do everything that county or city needs. So So they don't compete for those, but they compete for a lot of other smaller accounts, and they don't want to. They're going to get priced out of that product because of the credit union's tax advantage, and they shouldn't be involved in those types of things.
Follow up? Sure.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Competition is healthy, right? So by them being smaller, they have to expand, they have to diversify as well because you have to be able to remain in the market. Do you see any issues with competition as well?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think what we're talking about here is competition between like-size institutions. Are they competing with the Bank of America, J.P. Morgan's? No, it's the community banks, it's the Capital City, and there's all a host of community banks around Florida. That is the for this issue, that is the main competition. And those are the folks, when this issue comes up, that I get the most calls. We sent out a call to action, I'm sure. I don't know if almost everybody here got a call from a banker, but because I have no idea. But I know some of you did, and I know who told me they were the community bankers in your area.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Tant, you recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is it fair to say that when a credit union purchases a bank, that it's a small bank, not a national bank? It's a community bank, like a Madison State Bank, like the bank in Jefferson County, like a Capital City Bank. Is that the typical purchasee?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, it's a smaller bank. They're not going to buy Bank of America. So they're going to buy it. It's medium-sized to small. It just depends on where you are, what the credit union, I mean, it's a business decision credit union is going to have to make.
Recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Has anybody ever done a fiscal analysis on if all of the banks became credit unions and what the cost of the state would be? Was that $259 million hit to the state just what the current standing is? Has anybody ever looked at what if all the community banks got assumed one way or the other? And my second part of the question is what, for the national banks that are in Florida, what's to prohibit them from seeking a tax break at that point?
You recognize.
Well, I thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that, well, national banks, you got to remember, you can have a community bank that has a national bank charter. So I always, and this bank knows I use them as the example. The First National Bank of Pasco County is a small community bank in Pasco County, just north of Tampa. But they're a national bank because they want to be a national bank versus a state charter bank. So, and you can have large banks like Truist or Regions who are state, another state, out of Florida, I mean, I'm sorry, North Carolina and Alabama state charter banks, I believe. So just, I want to start with that. I don't know. They'd have to convert to a credit union and go through all that. I don't think they could just waive the taxes away. I have no idea what the amount would be. I could try to find that out for you. Be happy to do that. Yes, ma'am.
Representative Stevenson, you're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. When in a small community with small businesses, are there services that a small bank, a community bank, affords to that community that might not be available from a credit union?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know the answer to that. I would think there would be, depending on it, well, it's going to depend on the charter of the credit union. If they're going to be a single member, like Teachers Credit Union, they would not, I don't think they would be, you have to ask them to get a better answer. I don't think they would be out helping, working with small business, because that's not what they're supposed to do. They are, but if you're open to anybody, they're getting into trust services, wealth management services, lending. I saw one that had real estate lending, so they're out there doing all that and competing.
Follow up.
So, are they able to do this commercial loans, same as a bank can do? Or do they don't have any limits on commercial? And I don't see any reason. I mean, honestly, I don't see why don't all of everybody go not-for-profit. I guess that would make that would level things off if it's really no different. So that is a real risk. So
you recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is a, I believe they have a loan limit, which I can't remember, but they're working on Washington to get that changed. And I know they can work with, they can answer this better than I can. I'm sure they're going to tell you that they can do everything. They can work with their CUSOs, and they have a way of finagling that, a legal, legitimate way. I don't want to misstate that, where they can do things and do it that way. But I know they're doing commercial lending, because I've had bankers call me that lost out on deals over the intangible tax. I know that's happened. So, but it's going to depend. Like I said, if you're a teacher's credit union, there's no reason you're not going to do commercial lending, because teachers aren't doing commercial lending. So,
thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DeMarco.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you very much, members.
Our next speaker is Christopher Hodge, League of Southeastern Credit Unions. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, members. I'm Christopher Hodge, Flora Credit Union Association within the League of Southeastern Credit Unions. Firstly, I'd like to thank Representative Botana for bringing this bill forward. Allowing public entities the choice to use a local credit union would provide increased revenue for localities due to the higher deposit rates credit unions offer. It will also increase competition for those deposits, reduce competition risks by allowing for increased diversification, and keep more Florida's public deposits in our local economies. The conversation around the tax treatment of our credit unions has been extensive, consistently focusing on our non-for-profit status. But it doesn't highlight the intentional differences between credit unions and traditional banks. Guided by the ethos of people helping people, Florida's credit unions adhere to a cooperative model, putting our members before our profits. A foremost part of that model includes electing a volunteer board of directors, maintaining specific field membership restrictions that are focused on regions and folks' professions, being subject to specified business lending caps at 12.25%, as referenced earlier, and a cooperative structure that channels our earnings back to our members through better interest rates and lower fees, and not to our shareholders. Granting credit unions the ability to compete for and retain public deposits would ensure that local funds remain invested within their communities, avoiding the redirecting of these funds to out-of-state banks, of which currently hold 75% of Florida's current public deposits. So in essence, allowing credit unions to accept public deposits could significantly contribute to well-being, to the well-being and the diverse communities in which Florida's credit unions engage. And to answer your question, banks hold 90% of the market share of total assets in the state of Florida. Credit unions are at 10%. They've remained in that base level for the last 20 years. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Rep. Woodson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, sir, for clarifying that question for me. The banks mentioned that they do invest in the community. Can you elaborate on how the credit unions as well invest in the community?
Happy to. Thank you. Sorry, Chair. Happy to. Credit unions are invested in their community in numerous ways, whether through its junior achievement programs to passing along community development funds that come down from the federal government. So I have a number of credit unions here today that can elaborate more on how they invest in their local communities, but it's something that's paramount to our mission.
You recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate your indulgence. Also, the question that I have, do credit unions have shareholders just like the banks?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, ma'am. Credit unions have members.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one clarification.
Rep. Steele, you recognize.
Thank you, Chair. I just have one question, and you might not know this, but if you can give me the information, I'd appreciate it. I want to know the total percentage of your revenue that you reinvest in acquiring banks and or building out new facilities.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm happy to get that information for you, Representative.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is Brett Baco, Calhoun County Board of County Commissioners, waiving in support. Thank you. Cecilia Homason, First Commerce Credit Union. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to come in front of you and talk about this very important issue. I am the CEO at First Commerce Credit Union. We are headquartered here in the city of Tallahassee, Florida. We represent approximately 65,000 members over the broader region. We have a proud 83-year legacy of unwavering commitment to our members and our communities. As a 30-year veteran in the credit union industry, I am a passionate advocate for our industry and for the opportunity for us to service qualified public depositories. Our distinctiveness from banks, which has been much discussed already today, is guided by our charter and our mission, and it uniquely positions us to enhance community service through public deposits. The First Commerce vision is to empower generations and transform communities. It is evident by our substantial investments in our communities and to our members. We routinely conduct extensive financial literacy classes for members and non-members. Our team members volunteer countless hours to serve our communities and nonprofits. We are a local institution, and we focus on deepening the impact in the communities we serve. For example, this fall we raised over $150,000 for breast cancer treatment, and every dollar stayed in the communities we served. Additionally, we sponsor cultural events and partnered with the Tallahassee Symphony Orchestra to bring in a Harry Potter film festival to reach families across our region. Yesterday, we initiated a team of a dozen employees who hit the ground running and served over 300 hot meals in Marietta that was so hard hit by tornadoes. We are extremely proud that last year we were able to gift $1 million to Big Bend Hospice to build out a new wing at TMH to the benefit of our communities and our members. Our positive impact is indisputable. We significantly contribute to the economy through job creation, financing for average families and small businesses, and true to the charter, we prioritize members and communities over profit. That is the essence of the credit union difference. And I know there's been a lot of conversation thus far this morning about it provides an unfair advantage, but I think it belies the reason we were provided the charter we were to begin with and how important it is that we continue to thrive to deliver on that mission. I invite your thoughtful consideration, because we've had a lot of conversations around this, that in this very city, there are two hospitals. One is non-for-profit, and one is for-profit. One pays taxes, one does not. And I never, ever hear a conversation about you should limit who they serve because of the difference. They're unique, they coexist, and they provide value back to our broader community. Our difference is in our charter and our mission. As we seek to empower our members and transform our communities, I ask you, are our public entities not entitled for the opportunity to choose who will serve them? I urge you to reconsider this rule, unlocking credit unions' potential to fortify and strengthen our communities. Thank you for your consideration, and I ask for your support of this bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, Member Onchowski. Do you have a question? Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Kyle Petty, Liberty County School District. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon. I'm Kyle Petty. I am the superintendent of schools in Liberty County. In Liberty County, we have two financial institutions in the entire county, a community bank, which is the school district's official depository, and then the Calhoun Liberty Credit Union. Both institutions employ local residents. Both meet much of the financial needs of the residents in our area. The Calhoun Liberty Credit Union has partnered with our school district as much or more than anybody, even without us being able to bank with them as a district. Over the past few years, they have provided tens of thousands of dollars to our students, our teachers, our facilities, and our parents. They have volunteered their time to come to our schools, and they do this annually to help educate our students on financial literacy, resume writing, and career planning. Are we customers? No. But we are community, and no one exemplifies this better than our community credit union. If this legislation is passed this year, would the school board change its official depository? I don't know. They do that at the annual meeting, their organizational meeting each year. But I would hope that our wonderful school board will have an opportunity in the future to have a choice. Thank you for your time and consideration, and all of you are more than welcome to visit us in Liberty County anytime. Would love to take you by the Calhoun Liberty Credit Union to say hello. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Thomas Flowers, Calhoun Liberty Credit Union. You're recognized.
Afternoon.
Great. I think you turned it off.
Again, my name is Thomas Flowers with Calhoun Liberty Credit Union. We are a credit union. We've been there in our local communities. You know, the goal is for a choice. Each one of you have a choice. When you run for office, you get to choose which political party you want to be, whether you want to run for the House or the Senate, whether you want to be a county commissioner or a school board member. You have that choice. You have a choice to own a profitable business or a non-profitable business. We have our members are shareholders. Like banks, I was a community banker for years. The one reason that a bank does not want to change or give up their tax status is their directors are paid. Ours are volunteers. Ours are the janitors from the schools, elected officials, anyone that wants to be a member in our rural community. You know, we're there. We want people to have a choice. We're open. We give back. We give back the majority of our money every year to our local two counties. So.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you. Matt Brockelman, Vistar Credit Union, waves in support. Daryl Taylor, Calhoun School Board, Calhoun County School Board. You recognize?
First year in education. Over those years, we had
Thank you. Rep. Steele, do you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I was on one side of the fence before we started this meeting. I'm still on that fence, but I'm being convinced otherwise, and it's through the dialogue that I'm having. Question I have is, are you concerned if that other local bank, community bank, closes down when they have no deposits?
You're recognized.
So earlier there was a statement from the same county that there is one community bank and one credit union. And if the deposits of the county goes to one bank and all of the local members are with that same bank, the community bank's going to close down.
And that's a possibility. We have three chain banks that are in the county in which I live, and we have done business in the years of my working with the school board with multiples of those. And why they've changed over the years, I'm not exactly privy to that at those particular times. But I would like to have the opportunity to at least have choice for our board and our community to have the option of looking at that, because it has been the credit unions have been extremely good to us as far as reinvesting in our community. Hurricane Michael, for example, back in 2018. Chain banks, they weren't housed. They have locations there, but that wasn't their home headquarters. Credit unions helped keep our community afloat in a situation like that, to school districts as well as just community members as well. And you know, that is important, especially in a rural district like what you were just talking about there. There's not a lot of option and a lot of choices that are there. This has been something that's been steadfast in our communities for years, and we just would love to have the opportunity to at least shop them.
Members, further questions? Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
Thank you.
Terrence Barber, Loyalty Credit Union, waves in support. Thank you. All right, members, that's our last speaker card. We're in debate. Members in debate. Representative Steele, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to be up on your bill, but I got to tell you, there's been a lot of discussion today about giving money away and donating to the community, and I'm all for that. But when you don't have to make a profit, because that's what you're based on, you're able to slide out more money and give it away. And so my concern is that, you know, running this is going to change the trajectory of everybody. If I was a bank at this point and this passes, I'm buying credit unions, and I'm buying every credit union I can get my hands on. But I just wanted to throw that out there as a thought. So thank you.
Rep. Fabrizio.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to take a moment here to really thank Representative Botana for bringing back this annual food fight to the Florida House and to the Insurance and Banking Subcommittee. I really appreciate it. It's one of the highlights of the session every year. And thank you all for coming out today and going back and forth. It seems a little more reserved this year than it was last year, but thank you. You know, we have friends on both sides of this fight. This is like brothers fighting, really, because the differences are minuscule. The one thing, you know, the wonderful thing about Anthony DeMarco is that Anthony DeMarco is an honest man, and he's extremely well-respected. And he does not make spurious arguments, and I appreciate that. That's why I was a little concerned when I heard a conflict of interest from one of the other folks here, because that's not really. I don't see that as a viable. I don't see a conflict of interest here. I think we get to make laws, and it is what it is. So I think conflict of interest is just a lot of malarkey, to be honest with you. I personally like profit. I don't like paying taxes, but I have to. And the banks in this situation, they're for profit, and they have to pay taxes. As much as I hate paying taxes, that's what the law is, and it is what it is. But I do believe in choice. I do believe that that the entities should have a choice. It doesn't mean that banks are going to go out of business. They will not. They will not go out of business. They will continue. But the banks will have to fight for the business. There will be opportunities, and there will be requests for bids out, and the banks will show why they believe they will give better service to some of these public deposit entities than the credit unions. The credit unions will go out and say that they're going to give them better rates, and there will be a back and forth. There will be relationships, and business will go on. And I would like to put this issue to bed this year. I'm up on this bill. Thank you very much.
Representative Tant.
Hello. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know how much I adore you. I still have reservations about this. I think that when I look at my rural communities, and I appreciate the rural folks that were here, but in Madison County, we have one bank and two credit unions. One is a teacher's credit union, another is called Buckeye Credit Union. My Madison State Bank is extremely engaged in the community. I don't even know who the others are. So I appreciate the fact that my credit unions here in Tallahassee are so engaged, but I don't think it's fair to say that all banks are not engaged in their communities. In Jefferson County, there is one credit union, and it's a teacher's credit union. There's one bank over there, and it's Capital City Bank over there, and I think there's actually one other small bank. I'm very concerned about the future for state chartered banks. That's my thing. I mean, we have nationally chartered banks. I'm concerned that state chartered banks either go the way, the community state chartered banks go the way of a credit union and join credit unions, or that they become assumed by a federally chartered bank. And then where will we be? And so that's kind of a concern that I have. So I'll continue to keep talking with you about this. But I do tell you that I see enormous, enormous value in our credit unions, but I also see the enormous value of our banks. And I don't think it's an either or proposition. And so I always want to point that out when I have the chance. So thank you.
Rep. Woodson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Botano. Last year, I voted against the bill. This time, I had a lot more time to really dive into the bill, ask a lot of questions to so many credit unions and banks who have reached out to me. And I was able to educate also myself, because when I take a position on the bill, I want to make sure I'm fair to everybody. I look at the banks, I look at the credit unions as well. And one thing that I am very skeptical about is monopoly, which is one thing. As well, I look at also the fact that people need to have choices. Just like we give choice to some, we have to give choice to others. And based on what I see and listening to both sides, I realize that credit unions need to also have an opportunity to bid. And I don't see them taking over the banks either, because not the small ones, not the big ones, because if it's competition, it's a fair play, they can come and compete as well. And it took me, you know, a lot of research, a lot of, you know, diving into the topic to make the decision that I'm about to make. And even yourself, you asked me how I was voting when we were coming in here. I told you I don't know. And I told you no, right? Remember that. But based on what I'm hearing and what I have researched, I've seen the banks, the credit union, invest as much in the community than the banks do. And I think it's time that we give them a chance to be able to bid whenever a contract is out. And the bank have 90% of the share, right, of the $32 billion, and only the credit union only have 10%. So today I'm going to vote up on the bill. I'm going to support the bill because I think it's only fair. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Chair. I like credit unions. I've had good friends that were involved in the expansion of ViStar. I have accounts in both credit unions and banks. But I'm sure that you all think about when we do things as the state government, we have certain advantages that give us an unfair competitive advantage with the for-profit sector, and we try to stay out of their lane. This is a case, to me, where we have created a lane. Credit unions are thriving in it. Honestly, I do not understand what's wrong with your model that you only have 10% of the business with all that advantage, but you should really take a close look at your books. But to me, that fundamentally, there is a gulf of fairness. I think the credit unions serve an important role. I'm sure that they do a lot of charity in my area. Some even big banks do significant amount of charity in my community, as do smaller banks, as do the credit unions. And I think they have an important niche. I just think that we are, as a state of Florida, we have the option to treat them tax-wise different for state taxes. In the federal credit unions, one of the things in not-for-profit world is if you're not-for-profit, even if you're in United Way, you have to pay taxes on unrelated business income tax. I don't understand, but federal credit unions have an exemption in that space. So I just think things have changed, and we are seeing larger and larger credit unions. I appreciate the perspective on this 10% of the market, but I do think the distinctions are blurred, and it will be very fair to look at the tax treatment of these entities and what it does in commerce. It's my understanding there is some differences in the business lending area. I would imagine if I had another few years, I would learn that. But just keep it in mind. I mean, the banks are paying taxes that are helping fund the schools and the jobs, too. So to me, this is unfair, and I will have to be down on it, although you've been very gracious with your time. And I appreciate the credit union guys coming and talking and the great passion you have for your mission as well. But I have to be down on this bill. Thank you.
Any other members in debate? Seeing none, you're recognized to close.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, staff. Thank you for the speakers. Just a little quick understanding here. This food fight, I would like to be done with. If you guys know me, I'm a goal-driven guy, right? My family's business wouldn't be there without the community bank that we have in town. In fact, he called me yesterday, you know, and I said, well, come up with a compromise. We have to figure out something here. You know, there's a reason that all my employees go are members of the credit union, because obviously it's a better situation, less taxes for them, less fees. So I think we need to come up with something, and hopefully the bankers will come across and the credit unions will come across, and we can put this to bed for once and for all. But with that, I close.
Rep. Tana, having closed, Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Duggan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Abbott?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Honchowski?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin is excused. Barrero?
Yes.
Botana? Kennedy?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Franklin is excused. Griffiths?
Yes.
Plakin?
Yes.
Rudman? Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
No.
Tant?
No.
Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Ex officio Skidmore?
Yes.
Thank you. By your action, that bill will be reported favorably. Congratulations. Members, our last bill is HB 817, and for that hearing, I will pass the gavel to our vice chair.
Thank you. Our final bill will be HB 817, authorized agents of tax collectors, by Representative Duggan. Representative Duggan, you are recognized to explain your bill from your chair.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. The bill authorizes a licensed general lines insurance agency holding an insurer appointment to write motor vehicle insurance to petition a tax collector for appointment and requires the tax collector to make such an appointment as an authorized agent of the tax collector for the purpose of issuing registration certificates, registration license plates, validation stickers, and mobile home stickers. That's the bill.
Representative Duggan, having explained his bill, are there any questions on the bill? Ranking Member Honchowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for presenting the bill. I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
The first one is, what problem are we trying to solve with this bill?
Recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. We are just trying to increase customer service, access to higher, faster times to get these types of tag and title needs accomplished for members of the public.
Follow up.
Thank you. Do we have statistics that these customers are not being well served at this point in time?
You're recognized.
Thank you. So 16 counties have private tag agents today. So clearly they are able to stay, if you will, stay in business, serving the public in those communities. So I don't have any reason to think that there isn't a need. But clearly, you know, an insurance agent is going to have to make the decision that they want to be in this space. And if they don't feel like there's an economic benefit to them, then they won't elect to attempt to do it.
Follow up.
Thank you. Why are we compelling the tax collectors to accept the petition from the insurance agency?
You're recognized.
Thank you. So tax collectors, when they perform these services, are actually agents of the DHSMV. And it just seems to me that we ought not to give elected officials the ability to pick and choose who they are going to allow to conduct this activity, which, you know, has some additional fees that the private tag vendor can charge and keep. Pick and choose between friends, family, donors. It should be a shall issue situation, just as it was when we had the regime for concealed carry permits before the recent legislation. It was shall issue. If you meet the standards, the state must issue that permit for you. I don't know why we would not want to put those same safeguards in place for somebody who meets the, you know, the standards.
Follow up.
Thank you. When I was reading the bill, it also, there's quite a bit that goes into being able to provide this service. How ready are these insurance agents to have just the logistic capability to provide this service, including security documentation, the inventory, and all of that?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Again, they're going to have to make the election to want to attempt this, and you're right. There is a barrier to entry in that regard, but that's the case really with most businesses, right? You got to meet the challenge, and I don't see as any different.
You're recognized.
Thank you. And then there's the cost to the taxpayers that we have in here. It's a huge expenditure when you look at what the projections are. So if we don't really have data showing that there's a problem, why would we be wanting to spend $12 million in the first year, $4.6 million in the following 4 years, and $9.3 million in the fifth year to pick another group of companies to do a service?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if you dig into the projections from DHSMV, what you'll see is that they are making an assumption that there will be up to five of these vendors in all 67 counties. That's 335 that they plug in at a per unit cost to generate these enormous projections. So their own data shows that there are only 19 counties that do this now, primarily in Miami-Dade and Broward. Most of the others have one, maybe two. So, and in addition, DHSMV already has in their budget funds to set up, startup costs for these LPAs in those counties, because that's what the law requires. If there is one, if the tax collector elects to grant that status, DHSMV has to bear the cost of the setup. So that they must already have built that cost into their budget, because in any given year, it could be one or two. I don't think it's reasonable to assume, given that there are only 19 counties that even have private agents, that there are going to be 335 in year one.
You're recognized.
Thank you. And then there were notes that why we haven't changed the date of when this would be implemented, because they're phasing out of the Florida driver's license information system and replacing it with the online registration operating network in 2025, I believe. So why would we not change the date on that?
You recognize.
Thank you. I'm willing to look at that at a future stop as an amendment.
Members, any other questions? Seeing none, there is an amendment. Representative Duggan, you are recognized to explain amendment barcode number 354967.
Thank you. The amendment clarifies that the general lines insurance agent will also be authorized to do motor vehicle and mobile home title transactions, but also accepts, in addition, accepts one of the proposed amendments from DHSMB and their staff analysis, clarifying that this will not authorize the agents to conduct essentially international vehicle registrations for vehicles that will be registered or titled here and shipped abroad.
Thank you. Any members have any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, any public testimony on the amendment? None on the amendment. We're in debate. Any members want to debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate, Representative Duggan, you're recognized to close on amendment.
Wave close.
Are there any objections to the amendment? Without objection, show the amendment adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Any questions on the bill as amended? Seeing no questions, is any public testimony on the bill as amended? We have one. Will Roberts from Florida Tax Collectors Association, Volusia County Tax Collector, waiving in opposition. Any other public testimony? No other public testimony. We're in debate. Any debate on the bill as amended? Ranking Member Hunchowski, you're recognized.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate the answers to the questions, Chair Duggan, very much. No one has shown that this is a problem that needs to be solved. And while one could say that the numbers are high, it does say in the bill itself that they have to approve any petition and they want them to have five in the area at a maximum. I just don't understand why we would be spending dollars on something where there doesn't seem to be any need for it, especially when we're phasing out the current system and going to a new system, which will only further incur costs for any additional groups. And when we talk about that they shall, if they meet certain requirements, and we say we have to do that because the state doesn't want to make preferences or pick and choose, right now we are picking and choosing. We are deciding that these general insurance agencies, that they should be in this business that they've never been in. For whatever reason, I'm not completely sure, and that would be an incredible cost to our budget and to the department. And the fact that the department has concerns in here that I appreciate will be addressed further down the road, but I'm a little concerned that they weren't already incorporated into the bill to begin with. I will be down on this bill today because I still don't really see the necessity of it. And at the extreme cost of it, I'm a little concerned about how valuable it will be to the residents we serve.
Any other members wishing to debate? Representative Temple, you recognize.
I had the opportunity to reach out to our tax collector to find out his feelings on this bill, and he had no objections to it. And that part of the conversation would be it would expedite services and make it more convenient for the community.
Any other members wishing to debate? Seeing no other debate, Representative Duggan, you are recognized to close on your bill as amended.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I just want to clarify. I misspoke. I said there were 19 counties. It's actually only 17 where they have these private tag agents. And as Rep. Temple's tax collector identified, the need is, or the problem that we're trying to address, if you will, is really just expedited public service, customer service to the public. And with that, I close.
Representative Duggan, having closed. Kimberly, will you please call the roll?
Chair Duggan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Abbott?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Hunchowski?
No.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Benjamin is excused. Barrero?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Franklin is excused. Griffiths?
Yes.
Flaken?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Woodson?
No.
Ex officio Skidmore?
No.
Thank you. By your vote, we'll show HB 817 reported favorably. That concludes our agenda today. If there's no further business, Representative Tremont moves that we adjourn.